to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers.
AMMM Shortwave Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Truth is on the talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Talk radio.
Good afternoon, and this is a national intel report, normally with John Stadtmiller, and today Dr. Nick Begich sitting in for him. We're going to be on over the next 2 hours, and this show is a broadcast from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. Central Time. And so we're going to talk about a technology issue today. We were on earlier today. I have a program on this same RBN Live network earlier on Wednesdays, and so we were talking earlier today about technologies and the impacts of privacy-related technologies. I want to continue that dialogue, but let me give a little bit of background on myself for those that may not be familiar with some of my work. It's again, my name is Dr. Nick Begich, and I'm the executive director of the Lay Institute on Technologies, Inc., which is actually a Texas nonprofit corporation, and I'm also the co-owner of Earth Pulse Press, Incorporated, which is an Alaska-based activist a publishing organization, and I'm have a doctorate in traditional and complementary medicines, and over the years, over the last 12 years, publicly have been reporting on areas of technology and the impacts of technology on personal liberty and privacy, among other things. And, you know, today we're starting to see a lot of this type of information get out into the media. You know, we've heard about the recent tracking of telephone calls by the NSA and now wire transfers, financial transfers and records through the main wire clearinghouses in Brussels in recent days have been reported. You know, these are things that have actually been around quite a while. You know, the idea that liberty and freedom and personal privacy might be traded off for what we think is safety and security really goes back a long way. But there's a quote in particular that between programs today I took a look at again just to bring it back into focus, and I want to read this because it's an important quote by the past Secretary of Defense William Cohen, and he was actually commenting to Defense Viewpoint December 1st, 1998, and he was talking about combating terrorism, and this is way back before 9/11, but it sets the sort of the stage for today's topic. And it says, and I quote, "The best deterrent that we have against acts of terrorism is to find out who is conspiring, who has the material, where they're getting it, who they're talking to, what are their plans, and in order to do that, in order to interdict the terrorists before they set off their weapon, you have to have the kind of intelligence gathering capability. But it runs smack into our constitutional protections of privacy. And it's a tension which will continue to exist in every free society, the reconciliation of the need of liberty for the need of law and order." And we're headed to the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to RBN Live.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Nick Begich sitting in for John today, and we're talking about technologies. And just before the break, I was reading a quote from Secretary of Defense William Cohen, and I want to go back and catch this last line and then finish this quote because it really sets the stage for what's happening today. And this is a quote, again, from 1998, well in advance of 9/11, in a discussion about hemispheric cooperation in combating terrorism. And this is back from 1998, and it says, and I'll continue to read, And it's a tension which will continue to exist in every free society, the reconciliation of the need for liberty and the need for law and order. And there's going to be a constant balance that we all have to engage in, because once the bombs go off, and this is a personal view, this is not a governmental view of the United States, but it's my personal view that once these weapons start to explode, people will say, protect us. We're willing to give up some of our liberties and some of our freedoms, but you must protect us. And that is what will lead us into the 21st century, this kind of constitutional tension of how much protection can we provide and still preserve essential liberties, unquote. That's Secretary of Defense William Cohen's words while in that office during the last administration. You know, when you go back to 1998 during the Clinton administration, that was really the setup. You know, many of these technologies that have resulted in greater constraints on freedom and privacy were developed during those administrations and even predecessor administrations. And the fact is, it required a certain environment, an environment of fear and this sense of safety and security where civil liberties could be quickly eroded. And 9/11, 2001 provided exactly that opportunity. You know, today we're going to talk about these issues, the privacy-related technologies that have emerged since and before. If you want to get in on this conversation today, we're going to be talking for the next couple hours. You can call in at 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. In any case, let me continue on this kind of line of, so where does it go from there? You know, fear as a motivator showed up, and I mentioned this in earlier hours today, this paper that was produced by the U.S. Army War College, The Revolution of Military Affairs and Conflict Short of War, 1990 vintage, and it talked about all of these new technologies that were advancing, from implant technologies for locating, in that particular article, troops moving around in the battlefield in case they got captured, you know, being able to put a microchip under the skin of a combatant so that if he's captured, we could find him with certainty. Today's microchips, of course, are a lot more sophisticated. You can actually monitor not just location, but things like heart rate, weight rate, respiration, stress levels of all kinds. You know, a lot more is condensed on a microcircuit 16 years after that article was published. But what they went on to say is that these very technologies would violate American civil liberties. Now, this is the U.S. Army War College's document, which trains our future officers in many cases, you know, in terms of tactics and ways to look at their jobs as public servants. Yet the fact is, this paper went on to say that because the technologies, such as implant technologies, and other technologies that they said could be used, for instance, one they mentioned was the idea of being able to pick out, say, a terrorist, a flight of a plane load of terrorists or drug traffickers, and isolate that flight and then hit them with an electromagnetic pulse, a surge of energy sufficient to override the controls of that aircraft to cause it to crash to the ground. And then there was this discussion of ability to deny that there was any interference. It would look like pilot error, you know, plausible deniability. The idea of maybe because we did this outside of the boundaries of the United States, territorial boundaries, that somehow this was excusable and that the Constitution didn't apply. You know, because international drug traffickers, although we can have a war on drugs, we still have things called a presumption of innocence. We have trials, we have judges, we have juries. We have things that civil law has taught us is wise to apply. And a good example in that paper was that the interdiction of an airplane flight. You know, and they said, hey, you know, what if we make a mistake? Well, that actually happened. It happened a couple years ago, and many will remember this incident where the Peruvian Air Force was provided intelligence by our intelligence organizations in the United States that led to the knocking out by the Peruvian Air Force with their bullets and their bombs on systems we provided them. They were able to shoot down that aircraft and knock out those drug traffickers, knock them right out of the sky, except it turned out it wasn't drug traffickers. They were missionaries, and we had made a mistake in our intelligence, and although we didn't pull the trigger, we made sure it got pulled. This is, in the paper, the debate was, how far does the Constitution go? Does it stop at the boundary so we can just kind of ignore things when we get offshore? And recent administrations has proven, in fact, that that is the case. I mean, as we see constitutional safeguards discarded in an environment of fear and forgotten at the doorstep of the country, as men and women representing not some bureaucrats' values, but the values of American citizens, those values are within the Constitution. They travel with us wherever we go. And our technologies today are now causing us to split hairs. And what the U.S. Army War College said in that paper in 1989 was that in an environment of fear, we can advance technologies that otherwise would violate American values. Think about that for a minute. They proposed to introduce technologies that would violate American values only in moments of panic and fear, when this tension that Secretary of Defense William Cohen mentioned would be most manifest. And in fact, in 2001, on September 11th, that was the result. We wrote the book Earth Rising, the Revolution in 1999 and published it in January of 2000. And we laid out all of these technologies that would emerge that are now, 7 years later, making it into the mainstream media, from roving wiretaps to the idea of wholesale documentation of all phone records. You know, what is that important? Yes, it certainly is important. And more important than that are the technologies that have not yet been revealed in current media reports, but have been revealed in past media reports on systems such as Echelon and other systems that actually monitor all telecommunications and electronic communications in the world. And this kind of monitoring that's being done today is being merged with other technologies like biometrics. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I want to explore this issue of biometrics as it relates to privacy. And biometrics, for people that aren't familiar with the term, are simple things like fingerprints or our DNA. You know, the thing that is really unique about us, you know, better than even a fingerprint, is our DNA print, because it reveals not just who we are, but all of the characteristics that are embedded in that genetic code. So, you know, when we start to look at ID systems and why ID systems are becoming such a big deal, has become an issue of major concern nationally and internationally, is because of the advent of identity theft. The biggest crime in the country in terms of number of events and the least prosecuted. Moreover, most of that crime stems from shoddy record keeping by organizations that have access to personal and private individual information, and that isn't properly protected. But it isn't they who have to unravel the knot of identity theft. It's the individual. And if you've watched any of the mainstream media stories on this, it takes years of effort and energy. And yet it's whose interests are being protected and how is identity theft proliferating. A lot of it is based upon poor security as technologies have evolved, privacy not being adequately protected because domestic law and regulation has not insisted on levels of protection that are really necessary. Because today, privacy isn't the matter of the threshold to your home. It is the gateway to your digital doorway, those places that store vast amounts of information on every citizen of the planet. And the fact is that information is sortable and becoming more and more accessible. Biometrics are going to be embedded as a way of identifying people, absolutely. You know, we already see little creeping chunks of it, from fingerprinting at banks. You know, here in earlier hours we were talking about here in Alaska, at one point there was a bank that was requiring thumbprint. And the excuse was it was for our own safety and security. And this bank was in transition, you know, and I'd gone through an incident, and I won't get into that again today, but I got into an incident where I said, you know, this is really intrusive. You know, criminals get fingerprinted, and, you know, not clients. And how many people do you catch with this ridiculous approach to security? And, you know, and they couldn't answer any of those questions, but a new bank was coming to replace us when they'd been bought out. And we contacted the bank as an effort to say, hey, you know, people find this offensive, and you really don't need to do it, and you really should check and see what you really catch with it, because it's worse in public relations than it is for what you probably recover. And you know what? At the end of the day, when that new bank came in, they eliminated that policy. They didn't collect that information anymore because they really found out it was pretty worthless. But as data gets collected and stored and then digitized, what's available on film and accessible, then the ability to use that data or access that data for inappropriate uses becomes even more possible. Think about crime right now as in terms of DNA banks. They're collecting DNA on everybody that they can get an excuse to get under their skin. The only protected group from DNA seizures, if you will, really protected group are federal employees. You know, during the Clinton administration, he signed an executive order protecting the DNA of federal workers. There isn't a law on the books yet to protect the DNA of the average citizen. Not like federal workers need any more protections than they already have. You know, we indemnify them, we protect them, we insulate them, and maybe that's all good, well and good, and I think it is, but those rights should extend to the rest of us in terms of protection of our DNA. Music's coming up, we're going to the break, and I'm sitting in. This is Dr. Nick Begich on the National Intel Report today. We'll
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
National Intel Report, and I'm sitting in for John Badmiller. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we're talking about technologies and the impacts of technologies on people, and today's subject is privacy-related issues. And I know we have a caller, Eric, in Oklahoma, so why don't we go ahead and bring Eric on.
Eric? Hi, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Hey, I have all your books. I believe I have all of them. I have Angels Don't Play This Harp. I have Earth Rising 1 and 2. I love them. I share them with my friends. We're all very, very kind of freaked out, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know, the main thing there, I think that's there's a lot of information. You know, those three books have 1,350 references between them. And, you know, the other side of that, though, is that getting that information at least gives us some sense of what's going on and maybe a way to approach it. And, you know, it's not to generate that kind of anxiety, but really,
definitely,
to try and say, hey, we know this stuff is here, so let's do what we do in democratic republics and be smart about it and make sure that all of us can take a little bit of a step in the right direction on what we do.
Yeah, so there's a lot to digest, not just trying to do it a little bit at a time, small chunks, instead of trying to just wear myself in. But I live very rurally. I live 15 miles from any town, and they just recently put a cell phone tower up on my place. And this is interesting. I've noticed a change in my REM, my dream sleep, and
yeah.
I've felt more lethargic since it's been up. And that's very interesting to me.
How far away are you from the tower?
I'm about a mile from the tower.
Yeah, you know, EMF, electromagnetic fields, have a tremendous effect on the body. And, you know, over the years, you know, trying to explain, you know, sort of how all that mechanism works, you know, we've struggled with it to try and get it, you know, into a frame where we can all just kind of relate to it a little bit. You know, and that's a problem with a lot of these major breakthroughs in technology is, you know, you kind of have to wait till the people and everyone catches up with the language or the vocabulary. You know, like everyone now talks about lasers easily, you know, but 40, 50 years ago, that just didn't happen. And cell towers and the technologies related to them, as they affect our physical health, is a big issue. There's an article on my website at earthpulse.com that deals with the cell phone issue, and there were large studies, some involving as many as 15,000 people in Europe, that showed that interruption with sleep patterns and lack of energy, confusion, these are all symptoms that are reported by a couple of things, extensive cell phone use, and now we're starting to see some reports that even just being in the proximity, close proximity of cell phone towers and transmissions, the same things can occur. We just finished, in fact, I just finished the last edit on a new book we're going to be releasing in a few weeks that gets into the physical mechanisms, how all these energy fields really affect the body and how they interact with our systems in plain language so we can understand it, but more importantly, so we can begin to weigh in on these issues within political environments.
Well, you know, I've looked at myself as a guinea pig. Like I said, I live so far from town, and this is the first time that one's been up in my area. So it makes you wonder, in populated areas where there's so many towers, what effect this is having on population centers, you know?
Well, you know, here's another point, Eric, and I think you raise a good one, is, and here's a good place where you can observe it. It's not just the cell towers producing the microwave energy, but think about all of the energies that surround us from radio frequency band alone. There is 200 million times more energy than there was naturally created 100
right.
years ago. And so it creates, at a level within all of us, a certain level of stress. And there's an old Chinese proverb that goes, you know, what's the sound of being born into an explosion? And the answer is it's silence, because it's like going into a crowded room with a bunch of noise. You filter out the noise and you focus only on, you know, what you're focused on. And the same is true in our living environment. If you wait until the power fails again in your area, which inevitably it does now everywhere in the United States, when it shuts down next time, don't just notice how quiet it is when fan motors stop running and all that kind of stuff stops operating, but think about the overall feeling to your body. It's almost like your whole body has a big exhale, like it just relaxes.
Sure.
And it's because it doesn't have to compensate for these external energy fields any longer.
Well, you know what? When the power grid actually goes down, that's when my life is preparing for that. That won't be necessarily a bad thing for me, but for most people, that will be the end of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's the thing. You know, there's a New Yorker syndrome I joke about every once in a while. You know, when people in big urban areas leave and go to the country, they get very uncomfortable.
Right.
They feel very uneasy about that because they don't feel that constant underlying stress. But look how that stress in the developed world is manifesting in terms of stress-related disorders. They're epidemic, whether they be manifest in physical disorders like heart heart attacks and other stress-related disorders that hit us on a physical level. But think of the mental disorders that are being reported in wider and wider volume, and I believe a lot of that stress is directly related to the energy systems. In fact, the evidence is in. It is related to the energy grid that we live within, and moderating and managing that is becoming increasingly possible as we get as we start to break down the code involved in how the body relates to these external energy sources. And most of that has already been done, as I've said for years, by military planners. It's just not available to civilian medical practitioners.
All right. Well, I can tell you this. I have to come to town to work, and when I get home, it's like, talking about the exhale, it's like there's a change in my physiognomy.
Your physiology does change, and as soon as you relax, and you can actually monitor it first by looking at brain patterns. If you look at the brain waves of a person who's stressed, you see very incoherent or sort of random patterns, usually pretty high energy patterns. And people that are relaxed, it's a much different thing. Eric, hang in after the break. We'll get back into this. And you're listening to RBN Live. This is Dr. McVega sitting in for John on the National Intel Report.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
And welcome back. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and I'm sitting in for John today, and we're talking about privacy-related technologies, and we have Eric. Eric, are you still on the line with me?
Still here.
All right. Where were we in that conversation just before the break?
When I go back home, go out to the woods, I feel a physical change in my body and my thinking. It seems to clear up after I come in the town of work. It's just so much stuff, so much electricity around here that I definitely noticed the change, and it's not my imagination or anything like that. It's definitely for real.
You know, this whole area of interest to a lot of people is really becoming more and more predominant based on understandings that are being developed in really an area called biophysics. You know, and I'll explain this a little bit. You know, there was the old models, which most of the people that have been involved in research over the last 40 or 50 years were trained under, was a chemical model for the human body, saying that everything was based on chemical reactions, which is, you know, partially true. And then they started using what they called a electrochemical model, which said, well, there's obviously some electric current going through the body, so we have to acknowledge that. So they said, well, maybe there's some mechanism here with electric current and chemical reactions, so we'll use that model. And what they,
so electromagnetic field, though, right?
Right, and so they forget about the other half of the equation, which is exactly that. It's the magnetic field, which turns out is in fact the more important component in terms of physical reactions in many cases because of the way magnetic fields interact with the body. But then they went the next step and really started to see developments in biophysics. And one of the guys that was one of the leaders in biophysics in the former Soviet Union, in fact, he ran the biophysics lab for 10 years for the USSR Academy of Sciences. His name is Alexander Kavarain, and he stayed with me for about 6 weeks back in the late 90s. And we had an opportunity to look at these models for physical health in terms of how to affect the body with external electromagnetic fields. And, you know, what was known in the former Soviet Union pre-Cold War ending in 1989 goes beyond what most of the public literature in the West shows even today. And yet when you look now and start to piece together what's in the open literature, both in academic studies as well as government reports that have made it out, a much, much different picture emerges. And this is where this kind of merging of technologies, where we're learning so much about how to manipulate human health and consciousness even, almost like dialing into this radio station around the country and around the world today, being able to tune to very specific frequencies to create extremely dramatic effects in living organisms, whether they be plants, animals, or human beings.
And that's for both good or ill, right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, it's the subject of our next book that's being released in a few weeks. It's called Controlling the Human Mind, which is about sort of the double-edged sword of this. If we get into the whole history with over 250 sources cited about how this technology has evolved from the and drawing heavily from the patent record as well as declassified government reports, and then taking a look at where the technology is headed in terms of advances that could be quite beneficial. And, you know, it's, again, we're at this threshold. Our technology in every area is advancing so rapidly. This generation of people, we're going to decide what value systems drives those technologies. And right now, that isn't being decided by the average person. We're being excluded.
They don't want us to have a part in the decision, actually, it seems like.
No, that's exactly right.
To exclude the populace from that, yeah.
That's exactly right. And part of it is the sense of paternalism, like we're not smart enough to figure it out, and they're wrong. You know,
I'm an average guy. And I'm very well informed. All my friends are very well informed. The paradigm isn't true. People are well. If people are given a chance, people can educate themselves and become informed on this stuff. It's not that hard.
Absolutely, and you know, it's the same elitist kind of attitude that we had in Europe a few hundred years ago when we said, "Hey, you're wrong. Average people have the intelligence." But more, and the most important things, have the character to make the kinds of decisions that will affect this and future generations. And it's
you can see what they've tried to do with the average intelligence and the character of the general population over the last 30 years.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, like a blueprint for decay. You know, I mean, you couldn't do a better job if you'd planned it, and I think a lot of people did. You know, the fact is, the plan marches on, and here it's a way of thinking of control, the manipulation of people, that really runs counter to all of the principles under which the country was founded. You know, the idea of an empowered population. You know, I mean, think about it from this perspective. If you share this belief with me, that we're created in the image of a creator that has given us incredible individual potential, and our obligation is to reach that potential as created human beings and be good stewards over that which we administer.
That's the spiritual side of this whole equation.
And it's the base of the whole equation.
Exactly,
you get
man.
Right down to it. And corporations don't have a spirit. They can't make those kinds of judgments like you and I.
The corporation does not have a soul, that's for sure.
That's exactly right. And that's what, but yet they have the right under law to live forever. They have the right under law to have standing in the courts. They have the right under law to dictate and influence national political outcomes as well as political outcomes of countries. This is wrong. Soulless entities deciding what happens for the rest of us, driven by Wall Street, corporate interests driven by greed and money as the bottom line.
And money as free speech. Money being the same as free speech. Exactly. You know, in a political election, the monetary contributions are free speech. That goes completely against America, and to me,
It does. You know, Eric, I appreciate the call because, you know, a family, my family's been involved in politics, you know, for now over 50 years. And, you know, when we look at it, we look at what's happened, it is a decaying situation where the average person is further and further pushed out of our ability to influence outcomes. You know, and here's what I know about the American public is when it's 5 minutes to midnight, and it is, people start waking up. And it's affecting all of us now more dramatically every year, every day, especially those that tend to vote, which are our senior citizens and people who listen to talk radio, who are activists, people who are engaged in the public debate. And, you know, we're gonna see shifts in what my brother, who's the mayor of Anchorage, calls the shaft and shift, which is where they're going to just shift the priorities around to get us to all argue about the same old themes while they run off with the bank. And we need to be careful in this election season to stay on these guys on the important issues that matter to us all.
I think the paradigm's really about to change because it can't go on any longer as it is. It's about to fall off the edge. You know? Hey, Nick, I just want to say, I appreciate you so much. You've definitely been an inspiration in my life recently. We rethought a lot of things because of your writings, and I appreciate it, man.
Well, thanks. I appreciate hearing that. You know, the activist publishers, activist authors, you know, there's not many publishers around, but there's a few authors still around and still standing. And Eric, I appreciate the call and I appreciate the comments. You know, as our mission is public education, you know, until recent years, we were really working, you know, working alone in a lot of ways, you know, and at the same time, depending on the goodwill of a whole lot of people, taking these issues on with us and carrying them into the arenas where change can be made. And, you know, as we talk about these issues, there's two sites I want to point out. One is the earthpulse.com site, which is my website. There's a lot of articles there. People can take those articles, circulate them, get them out. That's why that information is posted there. Another site that contains many of the citations or the quotes that I'm quoting from today and in other radio programs was set up actually by a Texan. It was set up by Dorothy Lay when she founded the Lay Institute on Technologies. It's a nonprofit, a Texas nonprofit, and it has a website called Lay Institute, LAYInstitute.org. And LayInstitute.org has a searchable index of what are in fact my archives being turned over to the foundation, where they're being keyed and uploaded so they're available as a search engine on all of these topics so that you can get right to the source material and actually look it up in a way that makes sense. So layinstitute.org, take a look there for follow-on information. There's about 700 documents in the bibliography now, a few thousand more getting ready to load up in the next couple months. And, you know, there's a lot of good things happening, I think, on all of these things. You know, there's opportunities to make change. There's opportunities to get the information out. And we want to continue in that effort. And, you know, we started working more with RBN lately and getting a weekly opportunity to do that on Wednesdays from 11 to 1 Central Time. I have a program, and we just deal strictly with technology areas and try and cover the impacts both in terms of economics and in terms of value systems, but always measuring against, you know, the content of the character of the country, you know, which is really about people and individuals. It's not about corporate interests that have continued to work really against us. You know, we've institutionalized bribery and we've called it a contribution. And in fact, the same things result: influence, access, and outcomes. It's a sad day in our country's history when we can't reclaim that. You know, walk into a congressional office and ask for 5 minutes even with your congressman, and you'll likely not get it. But drop a $10,000 check on his desk, and you'll have the meeting for lunch the next day. And that's a sad state. That's the state we've entered. You know, when we get into technologies, you know, we used to have some champions in the Congress. Back when Dad was in the Congress, he was in the 92nd Congress. That was 1971 vintage. You know, that was the time of Watergate and the collapse of the country. And all of these same issues, you know, were in the news. You know, when my dad was there, Hale Boggs was the majority leader in the House, one of the most powerful men in Congress, and Hale had called for the resignation of J. Edgar Hoover for his violation of privacy rights of Americans throughout the country and because of just a breakdown in character. The guy had been tapping all the congressional phone lines, interfering with private parties outside of the law, and using his agency as his own club. You know, that kind of mindset of using public agencies as a way to skirt civil liberties is being repeated again today under the guise of personal security and freedom. And, you know, after Watergate, people don't remember, but there were huge abuses of the CIA reported after the Watergate. In fact, it was ex-CIA people that broke into the Watergate. CIA was investigated and found culpable for violating American civil liberties for over 20 years and slammed royally for it by the U.S. Congress. And yet, here we have again a repeat of the same pattern, you know, a few decades later. And no accountability. In fact, more invisibility instead of accountability. We see less of government accountability today than we've ever seen in our history at a time when we need more of it. At a time when the United States is the most powerful country in the world. Since the Roman Empire, there hasn't been a situation like this. And the responsibility of each American now is even greater because it's our government. It springs from our hearts and from our souls. We've got a caller sitting in, Mike in Oklahoma City. Go ahead, Mike. Are you with me?
Nick, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I had a quick question. Have you heard anything lately about the HAARP facility being hit by ionospheric lightning?
You know, I haven't. You know, although there's been this speculation for some time that once they fire it up at the levels that they'll be firing it up at this year, you know, they've just expanded it 400% bigger than it ever was, that it could create what's called a shunt or an arc between the ionosphere and the Earth. If it did, potentially they could wipe out the entire facility and create the biggest light show anybody's ever seen.
One of the blogs that I read on a regular basis, there's an individual who posts there who claims inside knowledge, states that over the weekend this occurred. There's been a number of dead animals. No humans were injured. And then a number of their transformer banks were knocked out. I didn't know how widespread the knowledge was, but they had said they were doing a pre-test before doing a 100% test on the 4th.
Well, that's interesting because we just had a power outage here that no one's been able to explain that's affected all of South Central Alaska, and it was a couple days ago we had that.
This would probably all coincide. Plus, you know, if there was a ripple in the ionosphere, that may explain some of the weather on the East Coast as well.
Could very well. You know, there's so much speculation surrounding HAARP, and this is one of the problems that we've had over the years. But you know, HAARP is a system being operated by the military here. Now being operated by DARPA, actually, one of the more classified research agencies. And, you know, what we're seeing is an increasing in power, increasing in potential risk, you know, to all of us. And, you know, it's not that we oppose a strong national defense. In fact, we want the strongest national defense, absolutely. And it's a question of making sure that what we're defending is in fact being safeguarded. And it really starts with civil liberties in this country, and it starts with those basic values and principles that have allowed this country to become what it is, and or I should say, what it can become again.
Well, and I think from the standpoint that they're experimenting at this level is, you know, demonstrates to me a form of recklessness and a lack of regard for the population at large, not only here but of the world. I mean, in a situation where when you're basically treating the ionosphere like a microwave oven.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, it's a good analogy, and in fact, that's exactly it. And, you know, the United States has a history of taking risks and human experimentation as well without any accountability. There was Secretary of Energy O'Leary, when she was in that position a few years ago, announced that over 500,000 Americans had been victims of human experimentation without their consent over a 40-year period. And yet, nobody's ever been tried for that. No one's sitting in jail for that. And at Nuremberg, after World War II, we hung people for that. You know, and this is the breakdown in American values. When a sitting Secretary of Energy can announce those people have been victimized, why haven't we held someone accountable? Why haven't we reached out to those victims of those crimes committed by our very government and at least tried to rehabilitate whatever situations we've left behind, and we haven't done any of it. And most Americans, I have never met an American yet that would say to me they didn't support reconciliation of those past wrongs. No one has ever done that. It's a matter of holding people accountable, and instead they hide behind national security to perpetrate these kinds of crimes against Americans in violation of all civil law or any sense of civil law, and certainly in violation of constitutional law.
Well, and anybody who goes through the DARPA website, I mean, if you look at just some of the projects they're working on, and you know that in some of these cases humans have to be involved in the experimentation, because they're dealing with weapons that deal with ultrasound and
right.
Change that will affect the body and that type of thing, and you know they're experimenting with people on a large scale to get a nice statistical base to base their findings on.
Yeah, and you know, if you go back to those early experiments in the CIA, when Dad was in Congress, it was right around that time that Helms, who was running the CIA, got in all kinds of trouble for mind control projects. And earlier in his career, he had actually talked about the fact they had to use unwitting victims, and they would just have to deal with the moral dilemma later. And we're coming up on the break. I hear the music coming. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll get back to this right after the break. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to the National Intel Report.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
And welcome back to the National Intel Report. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and I'm sitting in for John today, and we're talking about technology subjects, and we're in our last segment of the hour, and we'll be on the next hour as well. You can catch my program on Wednesdays at 11 to 1 p.m. on RBN Live. And today we're talking primarily about privacy. technologies, although we've kind of wandered a little bit around, which isn't unusual either. Do I still have my caller online, or did he already drop off? Mike, are you still there? All right, Mike's gone. If you want to call in today, if you want to get in today on the conversation, the call-in line is 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And this is Dr. Nick Begich. And today we're filling in for John on National Intel Report and covering technology issues related to privacy. You know, when you go back and you start to look at the rationale, you know, around some of this, you know, I go back again reflecting on what was happening in the 1970s and what's happening today. You know, when Helms was thrown out in the aftermath of Watergate and they shredded, they were caught shredding huge amounts of documents out of the Central Intelligence Agency at the time. And as a result of all that, we saw significantly changes in the political structure. But you know who was brought in to clean up the CIA? George Bush Sr. You know? And so who knows whether that really resulted in a cleanup. Rita's in Colorado holding on. Rita, go ahead if you're still with me. Rita, are you there?
Am I here? You hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to bring up two things in... see if we could maybe connect them back together.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, first of all, I was really kind of upset about JFK Jr., and I think there's something there that nobody has ever talked about. For one thing, the Empress II is stationed in Chesapeake Bay. You know the Empress II?
Yes.
And, I mean, even if... the airplane didn't succumb to that kind of kilovolts per meter seconds, you know, then what would it do to somebody's head, you know?
Yeah.
And so you know, that thing was right there. Now the other thing, you know, which is kind of hard to connect to, but, you know, I'm trying to make a point here is, like, when you look at the rest of the world and you go to people in Europe and the Muslim community, and they look at the United States and how, you know, how we're screwed up, they'll say, you know, that Bush is really screwed up, but, gosh, Kerry is really, really screwed up, you know? They'll say, you know, what's wrong with America? They don't have their... You know, their liberal, their progressive community isn't there to talk, and you know what they got, because they've got, you know, maybe a different culture.
Well, you know I think you're right. I mean, there is a lot of questions. I mean, Europeans are mystified by how silent Americans are these days on these issues, because they've been dealing with them for over a decade already, and we're just starting to get into the discussion in a way that's bringing the issue to light. I think we're headed for the top of the hour here in a moment. I want to get back into this issue after the top of the hour, so stick with us. You're on the National Intel Report, and Rita, hang in, and we'll catch you right out.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.